All right, this morning, you know, I'm going to talk about what is really a very serious subject. It is something that all of us at some point in our life deal with, even if we don't want to admit it sometimes, right? And that is the fact of losing faith, or at least questioning our faith. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes whenever you go through a situation in your life, you kind of look up at God and you go, I wonder, right? And I think probably anyone, I'll say 30 and above, I'll give the 20-year-olds, you know, and younger the benefit of the doubt as far as possibly going through something like that. But usually by the time you get to 30 or older, you've gone through a situation in your life where you really have a hard time connecting your faith and the struggles that you're going through in your life. Now, I'm not saying you haven't experienced that if you're younger than that, but I'm going to assume that most everyone, if you're 30 or older, has gone through a situation like that. So how do you deal with faith questions? How do you deal with situations like this? How do you deal with those crossroads in your life where our faith walk, our Christian walk, and suffering meet? Some of us handle it with strength and dignity and come out immediately stronger. And the rest of us want to know how you do that, right? How you can, at least from all outward appearances, seem to be stronger and a more positive person than you were prior to your struggles. But on the other hand, some of us handle it by turning away totally from the benefits of faith that we, or the beliefs, excuse me, of faith that we once had. And a lot of us, like Jesus' disciple Peter, are somewhere in between. Now, if you remember right, in Peter's case, he promised Jesus that he would never turn away from Jesus. Do you remember that? Peter said, "Lord, I will never turn away from you. Even death would not make me turn away from you." And yet, when it came down to it, what did Peter do? He denied him, yeah. Pretty straightforward. In a straightforward fashion, he denied him, didn't he? "I don't know this man," right? When times get tough, the mouthy, the strong, and the strong-willed Peter, Jesus' rock, or the Greek term is Petros, turned soft and got scared. We know Peter came around and became a great leader in the early church, but that story in the gospel tells us something about ourselves, doesn't it? Even those of us who appear to have this in-control shell, many times we create that shell, don't we? Because inside, we're really out of control and we don't want other people to know that. In the good times, we claim a lot of things, don't we? We claim how strong and how faithful, just like Peter, right? "Jesus, I would never turn away from you." I mean, I've said that prayer in my life many times. "Jesus, I would never." And I just always have this ring of Dad's voice in the back of my mind. Anybody else have Dad's voice? Not my dad, but your dad's voice in the back. You know, and he said, I can always hear him, "Eric, that word never, that's a big word. That's a big, big word." But in good times, probably most of us, claim a lot of things. You know, with all these shootings and everything that take place, for the last several years, even clear back to whenever it was, now it's, unfortunately, it's kind of commonplace in many situations, but way back whenever it was new, 20 years ago or 25 years ago, or at least public hadn't heard much about it, I would think, boy, what would I do in that situation? I know what I'd like to believe I would do in that situation. Anybody else ever thought about this? You know, like whenever that guy puts a gun to that girl's head and says, "Are you a Christian?" Well, of course I'd claim I was a Christian. I'd stand on Jesus, right? Boy, I've never been in that situation. No one has ever intentionally pointed a gun to me. Now, some of you have had that. You know exactly how you would react. But it's tough. we don't really know how we will react when the going gets tough. Many times we look at people and we say, man, I would never do that, right? But we truly don't know how we will react until we've walked a mile or so in that person's shoes, do we? One of my favorite Christian comedians is Mark Lowry. He sings with the Gaither Vocal Band. And, well, he doesn't anymore. I think he's retired. He was the baritone for years of that vocal group. And he has a video of whenever he had a motorcycle accident and he broke his leg. It was very, very serious. But in good Mark Lowry comedian fashion, he makes you roll on the floor and laugh. Because you're laughing so hard about his broken leg. But anyway, one thing that he says is, he says, Mark Lowry claims that we need to walk a mile in other people's shoes. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? He claims that we need to walk a mile in other people's shoes. But then he follows that up by saying that you will have a new pair of shoes and you're a mile away. There are many types of suffering, aren't there? I mean, just think about it. There's personal illness. There's a loss of a parent or a grandparent or a child. There's a loss of a friend. There's taking care of a loved one who is ill. You know, whenever we get married and we say for better or for worse, really, in all honesty, when we're standing up here on the altar, we're thinking of the for better part, aren't we? I mean, I know personally the four worst part never crossed my mind in the I do's, right? But isn't it whenever we're in those four worst parts that we find out what true love really is? When your husband or your wife is ill and you're the caregiver, you find out what love is about, don't you? There's oppression from governments, there's genocide, there's poverty, hunger, malnutrition, there's loss of a job, there's debt, there's bankruptcy, there's abuse. There's lots of different types of suffering. Boy, this is just a joy-filled sermon, isn't it? But I mean, honestly, all of us go through different things like this, don't we? And I think it's really important, and I want to have some levity to it, but there, I think it's really important that as Christians, we have a, at least begin to have an understanding of how biblical characters responded to their issues, how maybe we should respond, just to have some examples. And they're there. Many of you have read them many times. You know, maybe you've forgotten, or maybe you're thinking of them right now, but all of these types of suffering that I have mentioned have a cause. They have someone or they have something to blame. But what about a type of suffering that seems to have no one to blame? Say, you know, loss of a dream. Say a loss of a God-given purpose. You might think of that as a dream of yours in your life, what you want to do with your life. You know, that very well could be a God-given purpose in your life. What happens when you feel that that dream is lost? You know, really, we react to that as if we've lost a loved one. Physiologically, we react to a loss of those, a loss of a dream, just like we would if we lost someone close to us in our life. Whatever the situation is, it hurts. Depending on who we are, some things hurt worse than others, but it's all suffering. And What happens, the question this morning is, what happens when the suffering is so deep it drives us to question our faith? If we look at our scripture for today, I just love the scripture. That's why I use the Message. I love this translation of the scripture, excuse me. And listen to what 1 Peter says. What a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have Him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Now, I don't want to go by that too quickly. Think about what he just said. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have Him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead. We've been given a brand new life. So because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts when we die? No, the future starts immediately, right? God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. Now, he continues, this kind of got me at first, but then he brings it all together. I know how great this makes you feel. That should make us feel great, doesn't it? And, you know, sometimes some of us who maybe been raised in the church or were longtime Christians, sometimes we forget how it feels, right? But have you ever experienced someone who for the first time realized that if they have a relationship with Christ, they have life eternal in heaven? That excitement that they have, the intensity in their faith walk, it's just like a kid in a candy store, right? And it reminds me that that's how I need to be living. My faith in Jesus Christ, I need to be living like that person who just gave their life to Christ. So, I know how great this makes you feel. We should be saying hallelujahs and amens, right? I know how great this makes you feel, even though, however, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Now, I know I can get an amen after that, right? So, I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold, now listen to me, pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. But genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. So, is he really talking about gold in this scripture? No, what's he talking about? Our faith, right? So pure gold put in the fire comes out of it. That proved pure. Say that five times real quick, folks. All right. But genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps it all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. Amen. Can I get a hallelujah on that? Hallelujah. That's awesome. So as we look at the scripture, first, it gives us confidence that when we have Jesus in our hearts, and I wrote that, and then I heard this pastor preaching a sermon the other day, and it was kind of an interesting thing. You know, as we think of scripture, the church has kind of twisted this around to where we accept Jesus in our hearts, we welcome Jesus in our hearts, which is not false. That's not what I'm saying. But if you think about Scripture, Jesus is asking us to follow him, right? Jesus is saying, hey, come and join my life, right? Come and follow me. And so that's just a little nugget for you to chew on and digest this week as you think about that. And maybe it'll drive you to open up your Scripture and see what Jesus says about this. But first, it gives us confidence that when we follow Jesus, because God raised Jesus from the dead, we have a brand new life and everything to live for. Amen. Including a future in heaven. And that future doesn't start some other time. It starts right now. So if that's the case, why are we suffering? Why do we feel like we're kind of in the middle of our pig pen sometimes? The second thing the scripture brings to mind is that we have to put up with every kind of aggravation. He compares our faith to gold and says that pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. So I've seen this, I've not done it myself. If you put gold that's brought out of the ground in fire and you soften it and melt it down, all the impurities float to the surface, right? And so pure gold is left. Can you follow that? So he is saying that whenever our faith is put to the test, when our faith is put in that fire, that it will come out pure. Does that make sense? So I accept my Christ. I accept Christ as my Savior, and I suffer for it. That's what we're really telling people, right? Come on, you got to give Jesus a chance here. You got to accept Christ into your life, and then you'll suffer. Isn't that a great growth policy? I mean, if you think about it, folks, wouldn't it really be easier to live like the world, and then you can be happy about it, and then like maybe an hour before you die, you can give your life to Christ, and that'll be good, right? Right? You act like I'm an idiot or something, the way you're looking at me. You may be right. You never know. So I don't believe that. I don't believe that a bit. However, you know, sometimes when we're suffering as Christians, sometimes that's that faith question, isn't it? Man, it would just be easier to live like so-and-so. Look how happy they are. Look at all the things that they have. It just looks like God is blessing them, right? But see, the thing is, 1 Peter continues. He wraps this up, and he says, when Jesus wraps this all up, he says it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. Oh, so what? It's not about me, is it? It's not about you. It's about who? God's victory, right? God's victory in this situation. Remember that it's our faith that's tried in these situations. Now, you may be thinking that God sends these trials, and I never want you to think that this pastor is saying that. I don't believe that. I don't believe God sends trials for us, especially the trials that end in death or something like that. I don't believe we have a God that does that. First Peter is simply saying that when these trials come, they can purge and refine and purify our faith. That's what God uses these trials for, if and when they come. You know, it's interesting in the Lord's Prayer, in the final petition, that final petition uses the same word as 1 Peter does. And the Lord's Prayer says this, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. And the word that is translated temptation is the same word that 1 Peter uses for trials. And all this really reminds us is that no Christian seeks the testing of his or her faith. Do you? I know I would rather not do that, right? And I don't believe God sets up these trials as an obstacle course or an entrance exam, right? But Christians have known from the beginning that no genuine faith exists without these trials, these temptations. So, does that help us? The knowledge of knowing that? Knowing that our sufferings and our trials are purifying our faith, does that help us? Is this as boring as it looks like it is? Well, let's think about some examples here. We have awesome examples of ordinary people. Now, we in faith circles have made many of these biblical characters extraordinary people. But if you think about different characters, Moses as an example, he was simply a sheep herder. He was an ordinary person, right? As a matter of fact, in that day and age, sheep herders weren't thought of as in the best. As clear up through when Jesus was born, they were not the best company to keep. But if we think about this, just lift up some different people. Noah. What did Noah do when he was chided and made fun of for making a huge ship, why am I having trouble, in a place where there's no water and where it had never rained? What does Noah do when he was chided and made fun of? Do you think it was painful to him to have his friends make fun? Is it painful to you when people that you count as special friends make fun of you for some reason? That chide you or give you a hard time and are serious? It's not like a joking. Of course, you know, many times jokes are really truth and jest, right? Do you think his feelings got hurt? I'm sure they did. Do you think he questioned his faith and his purpose? Maybe he did. I mean, I could see a huge project like that. Maybe, boy, it'd be awful easy to question his faith and his this God that he was listening to. But what do we remember Noah for? Was he faithful? We remember Noah because he was faithful to God's calling. Amen? He kept moving forward. How about Abraham, or Abram is what he was called before all this began. Do you think it was painful to go into a strange land where he knew no one? How about any of you? Have you gone to a strange land where you had no family ties? Whether it was college, whether it was maybe you moved your family, whatever it was. That's a scary place to be. You don't know who you can trust, really. Boy, you need that special friend, but it takes a long time to make those connections, doesn't it? So Abraham, do you think his feelings got hurt when he maybe trusted some people he shouldn't have? Do you think he questioned his faith and purpose at some point in this journey? Absolutely. I think he probably did. But what did Abraham do? He was faithful to God's calling. That's what we remember him for. How about Joseph? Do you think it was painful when his brothers sold him into slavery? Would that be painful to you? No? Would that be painful to you? If your siblings sold you into slavery, would that be painful to you? Yeah, it would. I think it would. I'm not trying to force you to answer there, but I mean, you know, I think it would be a painful situation. How about spending all this time in a rat-infested jail? Do you think that would be fun? Do you think maybe he questioned his God? Would you? What do we remember Joseph for? He was faithful, right? He was faithful to God's calling. He kept moving forward. Again, Moses, do you think it was painful when he turned against his brother and he knew God's anger was burning against the man he grew up with, against the man that he played with when he grew up? God's anger burned against the man that he cried with. Do you think it hurt Moses when his brother's son was killed on that first Passover? Do you think it hurt him? Do you think there were times in that 40 years of wandering that he questioned God? When he got tired of these people who were constantly poking and questioning? Do you think he questioned his God? I think he probably did. Do you think that when they were caught between Egypt's army and the sea, do you think he questioned that faith? Oh man, I brought all these people out of Egypt and here we are between the army and the water. What are we going to do? How about Gideon? Do you think it was painful when God called him to build an army up against an undefeatable foe? Did his feelings get hurt? Do you think his feelings got hurt? Dear God, what am I doing? What have you done? You tell me to pick these guys that drink water from the river like a dog? What's up with that? Right? I mean, God kept whittling down Gideon's army to 300 when the enemy's army was 135,000. Do you think he questioned this God? We could go on and on of normal people in Scripture that we know because they kept moving forward in their faithfulness to God. So, when trials come, what examples are you going to live your life by? When you're in the middle, anybody here ever worked or seen a pig pen? Anybody? Now, I grew up in Northwest Missouri. We have this nice, black, rich soil, right? And pig pens tend to be a little sloppy. I'm not sure how they are around here. But, I mean, have you ever been in a pig pen? If you've ever been in a pig pen, you'll realize that, I mean, you sink down. I mean, you wear boots, right? Because you never know what's going to be in your shoes if you don't, right? And so, let me ask you this. Thinking about what a pig pen is like, have you ever been in the pig pen of your life? In the slop? And you're thinking, dear God, what have I done? Well, 1 Peter is telling us this morning, it says, you know what, you're in a heavy trial at this point in your life. Maybe many of you are there right now. But here's the deal. First Peter says, thank God, it's not forever. It's just for a season. Let's shout that together. It's just for a season. Can we shout that? It's just for a season. Come on now, make it loud. It's just for a season. I told the first service, and I pointed the wrong direction, but I told the first service, let's make Barry and those Cedar Grove folks hear us, right? Let's say it again. It's just for a season. Say, it's not forever. It's not forever. Folks, it didn't come to stay. It will pass. Let's say it together. It will pass. Come on now. It will pass. It will pass. It will pass. Whatever it is, right? So let's say it that way. It will pass. It will pass, won't it? By George, it will pass. We got to have that faith, don't we? So let's say it that way. It will pass. And it will pass, right? I don't know what you're going through, folks, but I want you to know it's just for a season. It's not going to last forever. It will pass. Amen. Notice it's your faith that's tried. Remember, our faith is much more precious than gold. Do you remember Job? Anybody know who I'm talking about, Job, in Scripture? The devil said to God, I know Job's a good man. I know this, but let me just send and place a disease upon him. That's very kind, isn't it? Let me put this on him, and Job will curse you to your face, God. I know he will. I want to tell you, I think we should be like Job. Amen. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Oh, thank God, he said. I know it's dark all about me. I know that my body is suffering. I know that trial and temptations are all about me. But I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. Thank God, my Redeemer lives. Thank God, we know that our Redeemer lives. And it's the trying of our faith that God can use to refine our precious faith. So the question today is this. When you go through trials, will you trust God? Will you confess God's word when you're in the pig pen of your life, that lowest place that you don't think you can go any lower? When you feel like you can't go on, you can't take another step, will you trust God? You see, God calls us to be like Job, Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, David, and yes, even Jesus and all of the saints that came after Jesus. No matter how bad things get in our life, remember that God loves you and created you for a purpose on this earth. Any trials that come, they will pass. Amen? Amen? You can laugh at the devil in his face. Why? Because you have a God. Now listen to me. You have a God that knew you when you were in your mother's womb. You have a God, the creator of the universe, that knew your name, that now knows your name, that knows all the possibilities that he has laid out for your life, that knows all the choices that you're going to have before you in your life. God knows all the mistakes that you've made. And yet God still loves you more than we can understand. Isn't that amazing? I hope this brings you comfort. I hope you can find hope in this. I hope you can find hope. I hope this regains your strength and the purpose that God has called you to. No matter how terrible things may seem in your life, know that they will pass. And you have a God that loves you and is working with you to refine your faith. I hope you remember that God loves you deeply. When you're on your knees in the pig pen of your life, remember, God's reaching his hand down there to try to pull you out. Let's pray. Holy God, we love you. We give you praise for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the amazing miracle that you provided in raising him from the dead. You overcame everything that we could throw at him, Lord, through his resurrection. All sin, Lord, was overcome, and we give you praise and thanks that we can follow Christ, that the dust of our rabbi can fall upon us, and we can give you praise, God, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.